Of Dalet Amid Beis, page 48, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines to the bottom of the page. The previous Gemara and Mishnah was discussing the strictness of Hegdish, of things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash, that is stricter than Truma, which is also holy, but given to the Kohen. There's different levels of holiness. There's a level of Truma, which is holy, but it's given to the Kohen. It's not the same level of holiness as a korban, as a sacrifice. So the previous Mishnah enumerated like 10, 11 things where Hegdish, objects of the Beis HaMikdash, are stricter than Terumah. Okay, in the various different laws of purifying yourself, touching Tumah, how it extends and so on. This Mishnah is going to do the reverse. It's going to show the strictnesses of Terumah over Hegdish. Even though Hegdish is holier than Truma, but certain times the Chachamim said, you know what? Truma is stricter than Hegdish. Why? For two reasons, just before we even start the Mishnah. Number one, if it's holier, people automatically are going to be more careful. For instance, we learned in the previous Mishnah, an illiterate Jew is not believed. Anything he touches, we can assume he makes it impure. Even if he says, I'm pure, we don't believe him. But when it comes to Hegdish, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim say, listen, even in Amaretz, we're going to believe, because it's so strict, he has awe for Hegdish, and therefore he's not going to lie. That's reason number one. Reason number two, the Chachamim were afraid that if you don't allow an illiterate Jew to be part of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, to bring korbanos and all that, what are they going to do? They're going to open their own temple. They're going to build their own altars. They're going to do things which the Torah forbids. So the Chachamim said, you know what? We better not excommunicate them, so to speak, from Hegdish. Let's leave them as part of the nation, and therefore they won't do anything wrong. So these are the two reasons the commentaries explain of why Hegdish, even though it's holier than Truma, nevertheless, in certain things, they make Truma stricter than Hegdish. You can come here.
I know, when you say Hegdish, I can picture all the Hegdishes I saw growing up that were really the chumvei in the cup. What is Teruma? Is Teruma a thing or an idea?
Teruma is food you give to a Kohen to eat. Okay, so let's see it inside. Chayme b'truma shebe Yehuda. I mean, chayme b'truma. There's a strictness of truma over Hegdish. What is it, the strictness? It says, shebe Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, okay, it says, nemanim al taris yayim v'shemin kol yamei sashana. The Mishnah at the bottom. Okay, they're believed, and Amaretz is believed to say that the wine or oil is pure. When it comes to wine of Hegdish, oil of Hegdish, and Amaretz is believed to say that it's tahar. But, ubeshas agitas v'abadim, during the wine pressing and the oil pressing, afala truma is even believed on truma. So in other words, the Mishnah is saying an interesting thing. On Hegdish, the Amaretz is always believed the whole year. For truma, only in the time when they actually press the wine and press the oil, that's when he's believed. Okay? Now, during these times also, the Chachamim lifted the decree, and the reason for this is follows. The Chachamim wanted to make sure most of the wine was in the hands of the illiterates. I mean, the scholars sat and learned the whole day, who basically did the agricultural stuff, the Amaratzim. And the Chachamim didn't want that the Kayanim shouldn't be able to eat Truma, and they shouldn't be able to eat wine and oil and all that. So the Chachamim instituted that in the time of the wine presses, we're going to be less strict with the Tumah of an Amaretz than we are a whole year. That means a whole year we don't believe them. When they say something is pure, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, for Truma we don't believe them. At the time of the wine press and the oil press, we believe them. Now, in addition, but Hegdish, we believe them a whole year.
It's strange, isn't it?
The Mishnah is saying there's certain strictnesses where Truma is stricter than Hegdish. But we said the reason is that there's two reasons the Mefarshim give. One is because Hegdish, people hold Hegdish in awe because it's so holy. So even the Ma'aretz is not going to just make Hegdish Tamei, number one. And number two, the Chachamim were afraid, like we just said, if you're not going to let the Ama'aretz participate in Hegdish, you know what they're going to do? They're going to open their own shul, their own their own Beis HaMikdash, their own Bama, their own Mizbeach, which is forbidden. So because of these two reasons, the Mefarshim explained that Chachamim were more lenient by Hegdish than they were even by Terumah. Okay, then he says, Avru Hagi says, Va'abadim, what happens if the wine pressing season is over and the olive pressing season is over? Ve'viyu lechavis, and Ama'aretz brings to a kohen. He brings him a barrel of wine or of truma. The din is lo yikablanu mimenu. A kohen cannot accept it from him. Why? Because wine that became tamei, if it's truma, a kohen is not allowed to eat it. So in other words, the Chachamim only believed him during the actual time of the wine press and oil press. The second that time, let's say it's a month, whatever. Once that time is over, Chachamim said, we don't believe him anymore. Back to normal. So therefore, when Ama'aretz brings wine of Truma to a Kohen, he says, here, a Kohen obviously is a Tamar Chacham, a Chaver, and he wants to give him the Truma to eat, the Kohen should not accept it. The Gemara is going to explain later what oil he could accept. Because the din is, Tamei Truma, you can't eat, but you can benefit from. So Tamei Dika oil, a Kohen can use as fuel. So even if an Ama'aretz is going to give it to you, and we assume it's Tamei, who cares? You're not going to eat it, you can use it for fuel. Wine, you can't use for fuel. So either you drink it or you don't drink it. So once the time of the press is over and the Kohen gets a present from an Ama'aretz, he shouldn't accept it. But the Mishnah says an interesting thing. Ava manicha legasa ba. The Ama'aretz can put it away for next year's press season and then give it to the Kohen. Because then we believe him again. It's very interesting. Even though now we don't believe him. But if he puts it away for the next wine press season, when we do believe the Ama'aretz, and he brings it to the Kohen can use it then.
They don't ask if it's new or from...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Rabbi.
Wait one second. There's a similar din by Meiser, but 148 in Chagiga. You have an English Gemara? It's 24b3. Well, we're almost done with 24b3. The Gemara says, when you come to eat in Amaritz's house, the grain is called demai. Like we learned before. Like we don't know, we don't trust it. On Shabbos, if the Amaritz says, I tithed it, you believe him. So it says, why? Because on Shabbos, even an Amaritz doesn't lie. Because of the sanctity of Shabbos, there's too much awe that by nature an Ama'aretz can't lie. We find a lot of people lie on Shabbos. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe explained, you don't take away free choice in the person. In other words, the Gemara is saying, by nature you don't lie on Shabbos. If a person chooses to lie, you can lie. But by nature you don't lie. What?
I've been sitting here, and yeah, every time you've said the word Hegdish, I've been thinking of all the examples of what a Hegdish was and how many of them I went in and how many of them I got beaten from my father before I went in.
No.
Place to eat, a place to play pool.
Okay, let me tell you something. That's a slang expression. Hegdish here means things of the Beis HaMikdash. Not of a Hegdish. It is a place of dilapidated hut. It's called a Hegdish.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
But we had a lot of them.
Okay, Vim Amr, like, okay. Now, what happens if the Amaret says, even after the separate, at the end of the pressing season, he said, "Ifrashti l'teicha revias kedush, I separated with this barrel, a revias is a quarter of the side of a kiddush cup. Oil is hegdish, neman is believed, even on the truma part." Meaning, what happens if the Amaret says, "Listen, I'm giving you this barrel of oil, and we said after the pressing season, you don't believe him, because he lies. But if he said, but by Hegdish we say we believe him the entire year. So what happens if the Amaris brings a barrel of Truma, and he says, by the way, in this barrel I consecrated a cupful for Hegdish. So then the din is, you believe him on everything. Because if you're believing him on Hegdish, then you're going to believe him on the Truma also. So if that's the case, he would believe the whole year. Okay? So this is the first half of the Mishnah.
Which is for wine and or for oil, right?
Correct. Right.
Thank you.
Now, if the Amaret held the stuff a whole year, you believe him. And it says why? Because even though we don't trust him 100% by Truma, that he didn't make a Tomei, but the fact that he could do it in a kosher way, by saving for the next time when he's believed, that much assurance we give him. You know, the Gemara says, if you could do something legally, why do you have to do it illegal? Well, Jews like to do it that way anyway. But most normal people, if you could do something legally, why should you do it illegal? If the Kohen could save, if the Amaret could save it for next year, and have it tahor without any problem, why shouldn't he do it? So the Chacham said, we're not going to make a tamei. And again, this is only because this whole tumah of an Amaret is rabbinic. Biblically, just because an Amaret touches something doesn't make a tamei. The Chachamim came along, the rabbis came along and said, because an Amaret lies, because he cannot be trusted, so whatever he touches, we assume is tummy. So Amish is saying, by Hegdish, because of the severity and awesomeness of Hegdish, he's believed the whole year to say it's not tummy, even in Amaret. For Truma, he's only believed during the pressing season. When you press the wine, you press the oil, then he's believed. Otherwise, he's not believed. But if in the Truma, the Amaret says, by the way, there's a little bit of Hegdish mixed into the Truma, then just like the Hegdish we believe him on that it's not Tamei, we believe him even on the Truma that nothing is Tamei. So this is a strictness, the Mishnah is saying, of Truma stricter than Hegdish. Hegdish we always believe in Amaretz, and Truma we only believe him during the pressing time. Then the Mishnah says another strictness. Kadi Yayin v'kadi Shemen, jugs of wine and jugs of oil, hamadumois, which are intermixed, truma, chulin, and hegdish together, okay, nemanim aleim b'shaz gitas v'abadim, they're believed, hamaretz, in regard to tahara, during the wine pressing season and the olive season. And not only that, v'kredim l'gitas shivim yeim, before the wine season, 70 days. Meaning, why are they believed? Because again, they're going to be using this for Hegdish. It's mixed. Truma, Chulin, and Hegdish. So just like we believe him on Hegdish, we believe him on anything else.
Even the vessels.
Huh?
Even the vessels, right?
No, if the vessels would only be Truma, you wouldn't believe him.
But if it's mixed?
Mixed, even on the vessels.
What if you believe him and he himself says, in case, can he incriminate himself?
Yeah, if a guy says it's tummy, it's tummy. Here, the case is he's saying, I'm not tummy. The question is, do you believe him? So the Gemara assumes that Amaret lies for his own benefit, to look good, so we don't believe him.
Is the word teruma meaning?
What you give to a kohen. One of the gifts.
So it's not tumah.
Truma.
Truma.
We say Truma and Tuma. We're saying both. Both words are going on over here.
I don't understand the reasoning behind that. They give something to the Kohen that's Truma, because he's a Kohen?
Yeah.
Hey, Rabbi.
Kohenim didn't work for a living. What did they live from?
I don't know. You got
to tell me. The 24 gifts that the Torah says you have to give to a Kohen. One of them is Truma.
They lived in the base of Mikdash, basically.
Yeah. Well, even today in Israel, you have to separate Truma. There's no Kohen to give it to them. Okay. What?
No, they throw it out.
We don't know today who's a real Kohen or not.
Send him Leo Pressure.
Okay, well, think about it. Now, in the Mishnah, it said, in the beginning of the Mishnah says, in Yehuda, you know, you have Judah and Samaria today?
Yeah.
Okay, so Yehuda, that area of Yehuda. So over the Mishnah says, in Yehuda, you believe them. You know, so the Gemara asks, why are we talking about Yehuda? Like the Gemara says, "Biyuda in ubegalulei," and the Galilee not. Why does the Mishnah say only in Yehuda you believe them when they say it's tahar, but not in Galu? Amir Shlokish says there's a very interesting Gemara coming up. Because there's a strip of land that belonged to the Kuthim. I'll explain to you in a second to the Kuthim. In between Yerushalayim and Galil, there's a strip of land that the Kusim owned, and the Chachamim said the land of Goyim is Tameh. So if you want to get the stuff from Galil to Yerushalayim, you have to go over that strip of land. They didn't have planes, don't forget. You can't go, you have to go over that strip of land. And if you go over that strip of land, the stuff is going to become Tameh anyway. That's the Mishnah. Now to explain this concept. The Chachamim made a gzeira that Goyish land is Tameh. Why did the Chachamim say Goyish land is Tameh? Because the Goyim didn't care about the laws of purity and impurity. Right? There's no law of purity and impurity. So if that's the case, they buried people everywhere. When people died, they buried them everywhere. By Jews, you know, you have to bury in a cemetery. And you have to mark it off. Why? Because you have Kohanim. Even today, that you have to know where they're allowed to go, where they're not allowed to go. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, everybody had to know. If you became Tommy, you couldn't go into the Beis HaMikdash. You couldn't eat the Hegdash. You couldn't eat stuff. So, by Jews, they were very careful, when people died, to bury them in a proper place. Even a Nafel, God forbid, a woman had a miscarriage, the Jews were very careful where they buried them. To make sure that there was no tumah. The Goyim weren't careful about it. And then when the Goyim would bury people anywhere, and then people would plow the fields, you know, they didn't care. So pieces of dead bodies would be flying all over the place. And because of that, the Chachamim said, any Goyish land owned by Goyim is Tameh. Okay, now, the Kusim were a very interesting group.
Even though it's the land of Israel.
Huh? Even if it's an Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see, that's what I'm saying. Now, the Kusim, here he says like this, there was a pagan group, Goyim, imported by the Assyrian king, emperor, Shalmaneser, whatever, from the native Kutha, and from other areas, to populate Eretz Yisrael in the place which was emptied out by the 10 tribes that were exiled. You know, the Jewish people divided into 10 tribes and 2 tribes. So the 10 tribes went into Golus. So the whole part of Eretz Yisrael that was empty. So the king, the emperor who controlled Eretz Yisrael at that time, didn't want the place to be empty. So what did he do? He brought in Goyim, Kusim from Kutha, Kusa, whatever, and he brought him into Eretz Yisrael. So at the beginning, they all converted. They said they feared God, and they all converted. Divine punishment. Later times, they reverted to idolatry, and they were expelled from the Jewish community. Meaning like this, there's a whole argument in the Gemara where the Kusim really gave him, or not real gave him. Okay? So halacha is, they were not considered Jews. Now, if they owned this strip of land between Galil and Yerushalayim, and they had a din of Goyim, So then that whole land was Tamei.
So the, north,
wherever it is, but between Galil and Yerushalayim, there was the strip of land. So there, what? Huh? I don't know. I'm sure people. I don't know. Now the Gemara is saying like this: in Yehuda, the Mishnah said we believe that Ma'aretz by Hegdish. If he says it's Tahar, we believe him. So the Gemara asks, why are you only saying in Yehuda we believe him? If you believe him in Galil too. So Gemara answers, Rish Lakish answers, because he can't believe him in Galil, because there's a strip of land between there and Yerushalayim that any time it went over there, it automatically became Tamei. So therefore, he's not believed to say it's Tahar, because the fact was, it's Tamei. So now the Gemara says,
there's no way it could go from the Galil to Yehuda, and then it also become Tamei. If it goes from...
One second. So Gemara's going to ask, why don't you bring it in a kosher way?
Fine.
Okay, so one second. So, what?
Is the
question
that Tame from the Jews?
Dead bodies of a guy is also Tame.
Were coins couldn't go outside Israel then?
It was rabbinic, and there was a big problem in those days to do it, yeah.
Why is it rabbinic?
Because biblically, only if you know for sure there's Tuma there are you Tame. Maybe there's Tuma, I mean, you know. Is the kohen allowed to walk into a building? Maybe there's a dead body there. You know, think about it. The halacha is it's a doubt. It's not definite.
So they couldn't import any food for.
Not for Hegdish. Not for Hegdish. Now, so now the Gemara asks, what do you mean you can't bring food from Golo to the Beis Hamikdash? Do it in a way that it doesn't become Tameh. And the Gemara is going to discuss how. So the Gemara asks, V'neisiv b'sheda tevel migdal. Why can't you bring it in a carriage, a trunk, or a closet? Why? Because basically, there's a din that's called ohel. In other words, we learned in the past, an ohel, a covering, brings tumah and stops tumah. Which means, if there's a dead body in this room, God forbid, everything in this room becomes tummy, automatically. If there's the second floor of this building, because there's a roof or a floor that separates it, the tumah only goes up to the ceiling. The second it hits the ceiling, the tumah stops. There's a few cases when the tumah wouldn't stop. First, if there's a hole in the ceiling, then the tumah keeps going up. Okay? Even though the dead body is not right underneath the hole. There's a dead body here, and the hole is there, but the fact that there's a hole in the ceiling, the tumah goes up, because there's nothing stopping it completely. Or, if the room is completely filled to the ceiling, and there's a dead body in the room, the tumah keeps going. But once you have a tefach, a handbreadth, 4 inches, let's say, of empty space between the dead body and the ceiling, or the roof, that stops the tumah. Okay? That's why, technically, if you have a separation, you can drive into a cemetery. A kohen is allowed to drive through a cemetery. Why? Because he's in a separate mechitza.
Separate room.
Well, it's a separate mechitza. If you have a box, right, or a carriage, or a shaded table, a migdal, or a closet, so then, if you have a box, and you're carrying the box over the land, the stuff in the box is not going to become tummy. Because the bottom of the box stops the tumah. Right? So the Gemara asks a very simple question. You're telling me there's no way you can get food from Galil to Yerushalayim without going over that piece of land that is going to make a tame. There is a way of doing it. Bring it in a box. You bring it in a box, the tumah is going to stop. So the Gemara answers, you know why you can't do it? Hamani, this goes according to Rebbe. The Amar Oil Zaruk Lav Shmei Oil. A moving tent is not a tent. In other words, Rebbe holds, the Gemara is going to quote a Machlekes. Rebbe holds, it's very interesting, this concept. Rebbe holds the only time a tent stops Tumah, if it's permanent. Not permanent, but a stationary. A moving oil, a moving tent, is not called a tent. It's not called a machitza.
We don't go by that.
No. That's why you see when Kohenim go to the oil, they go in those boxes. Yeah? What are those special boxes made for? It's a mechitza, like the Gemara calls it a shaded teva mikdash, the bas, closet, box, carriage, whatever, that separates the tumah from all the dead bodies along the way.
The bottom of it is not covered, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but you have a mechitza by the side. Because you're not walking on graves. You're right. If you'd be walking on a grave, then you would, then you have a problem. But this is only from the graves on the side. So you need to have a mechitza. So it's like a, you're right, it's not an ohel. It's not an ohel.
When walking, there's still a space between the floor and the bottom of that box.
But they have to make sure, Tak, it's going down to within 9 inches of the floor.
9 inches.
Right.
Okay. The body's in a coffin, isn't that enough to talk to someone?
No, because there's not enough place.
Why didn't they make it that way?
You
mean how many inches?
Yeah, because I don't know if it would work. That I once thought about that. I don't think it works halachically. First of all, like in Israel, they don't bury in coffins anyway. Huh?
Here, why don't they? Just make the coffin bigger.
I don't know. But obviously it doesn't work, or else they would do it.
It's not only that, it's also this
cementing.
Did I hear you say that in Israel they don't bury them in coffins?
Right. Straight.
You're kidding.
Straight in the ground. The way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Now, so the Gemara asked the question, why can't you get the food from Golul to Yerushalayim through a mechitza, through a oil? So the Gemara says, we can't. Because according to Rebbe, a movable oil is not a separation.
In a box?
Huh?
In a box?
Not if it moves. If you carry the box, it's not considered... Like he says, the Tanya, he says, the Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Hanichnas le'eretz ha'amim, if somebody goes into the Goyish countries, b'shei the table migdol, either with this carriage, trunk, or closet, Rebbe metameh. Rebbe says you're tummy, because he doesn't consider a movable tent a tent. Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yehuda matter, and Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yehuda holds it is. Why? Rabbi holds very simple. The fact that it's moving, it doesn't break tumah. Only if something's permanent, it's made to stop, it stops. So therefore, the Gemara's question was, why can't you bring the food from Golot Yerushalayim with a box? The Gemara says, why? I'll tell you why. Because it's going to become tummy anyway. Because according to Rebbe, it's not a good mechitza. If it's not a good mechitza, it's going to make the food tummy. You're not going to gain anything by it. So the Gemara asks, you can have another idea. The Gemara says, why can't you bring the food for the Hegdish in a earthenware vessel with a sealed cover? Before in the Gemara we learned, a normal vessel, if this is metal, okay, if tamei touches the outside, everything inside becomes tamei. If you put tuma inside the air of the vessel, but it doesn't touch the walls of the vessel, it does not become tamei. An earthenware vessel is just the opposite. If it's sealed, okay, and you touch it from the outside, it doesn't become tamei. The only way an earthenware vessel could become tamei, if you touch it inside. So the Gemara asks, I have a way that the food shouldn't be, the food for the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't become tamei. Put it in an earthenware vessel, seal it on the outside, so nothing can make a tummy. Even if it touches the ground, it can't become tummy, because a kli cheres could only become tummy from the inside, not from the outside. So he says, you got a very simple solution.
It's moving.
No. The Gemara asks. The Gemara answers, by Hegdish we don't go for that. Hegdish is so strict that even if it's sealed, it's not going to save it from Tumah. So the Gemara asks, why can't you bring it in an earthenware vessel that's sealed, and then it protects from the Tumah? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shainin, we learned in a Braisa, Ein Hakedish Nitzel B'Tzamid Pasul. Hegdish does not become saved by a sealed tumah, by a sealed earthenware vessel. Why? It's rabbinic. Because of the strictness of Hegdish, the Chachamim said, it doesn't stop the tumah. Even then it will become tummy.
If the outside is earthenware and inside you have the both ways you cover.
Metal on the inside and earthenware on the outside. Too expensive.
I don't know.
Chacham say we can't afford it.
The Mefarshim ask over here another practical way of doing it. And they ask, why doesn't the Gemara ask a different question? Let the Ma'aretz, and this is brilliant, let the Ma'aretz bring it, let him not make it Hegdish yet. And then before he makes it Hegdish, let him bring it to Yerushalayim in a sealed earthenware vessel. And the earthenware sealed vessel protects it from everything except Hegdish, but it's not Hegdish. When he gets over the border, then he can make it Hegdish. And then it's protected because it's not Tame.
How do you make it Hegdish?
No, he comes to Daichi, so he says, this is Hegdish. Like anyway, how do you make anything Hegdish? You have to say, if you want to donate something to the Beis Hamikdash, you have to say, this is Hegdish.
But the act of bringing it is almost like...
But it's not Tame yet. What's the Gemara's problem? The Gemara said, the Gemara explains the Mishnah that you can't bring anything from Galil, only from Yehuda. Why? Because it's going to automatically become Tamei. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute, put it in a box. The Gemara says, it goes like Rabbi, that a movable box is not a box. So he said, okay, put it in an earthenware vessel and cover it. Yeah, seal it. So the Gemara answers, no, for Hegdish, it doesn't work. So the Mefarshim asks, okay, but don't make it Hegdish yet. Bring the food from Galil. The wine or the oil or whatever. Bring it in a sealed earthenware container. It's not Tamei, right? When you bring it into Eretz Yisrael, then you make it Hegdish. So they say, you see from this Gemara an interesting thing. That if something for Hegdish cannot even in the past become Tamei in a way that even for Hegdish should, only for Hegdish should be Tamei.
Only by Hegdish? Can you say that again?
In other words, if for Hegdish you would make it Tamei, even though you want to eventually make it Hegdish, it could have never become Tamei retroactively in a way that for Hegdish it would have been Tamei. Even though it's not Hegdish yet. In other words, when you bring it in an earthenware vessel which is sealed, it's not Hegdish. So it's not going to become Tamei. So Gemara said, so make it Hegdish afterwards. The Gemara says it's too late to make it Hegdish already. Because by making it Hegdish now, we say it's considered as if it was Hegdish the whole time. And then if it was Tamei for Hegdish, it wouldn't help you now either. It wouldn't help and it becomes Tamei. Right. So now the Gemara asks, for Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa, what the Gemara is going to ask, you just said a statement that Hegdish is not protected with a sealed vessel. Right? The Gemara asks, but it's not true. For Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa, Ein Chatas Nitzalus B'Tzamid Pasul. Chatas water for the Parah Adumah is not protected. with an earthenware sealed vessel, which implies my lav hegdish nitl, that the hegdish is saved, because chatos paraduma is even stricter than hegdish. And what does this brisa say? That water of chatos of paraduma is not saved in tzamid pasul by sealed earthenware container, which implies hegdish is protected. So how could you say hegdish is not protected? So the Gemara says no. But hamayim, what it means is mayim she'enem mekudoshim, water which is not holy yet, nitzulim b'tzamid pasul, is saved with tzamid pasul. But as far as hegdish goes, hegdish doesn't save it. Once it's hegdish, it's no good. Once it's hegdish already, it's not going to be good. So the Gemara asks, Farmer Ula asked the question. It's a very cute question. Ula asked the question. So what is the bottom line of the Gemara? You can never bring anything from Galil to the Beis HaMikdash, because it gets tummy with a strip of land along the way. So the Gemara asked, but Ula said, Chavraya Medakin B'Galila. He said, the guys from Galil, Ula said, the people from Galil prepared wine and oil for the Beis HaMikdash. Ula said a statement. You know, the guys in Galil got wine and oil ready that when Mashiach comes, any second, they're going to be able to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, how can you do that? How are they going to get it to the Beis HaMikdash? It's going to be tummy.
We can't go around.
No, it seems that you couldn't go around. No, that because if you go around, you're also going to get into other Goyish countries. Oh, 1 minute. So the Gemara, that's interesting. Manichem. They answered, you know what? Ula said, they have the wine. Sheyave Eliyahu. When Eliyahu Navi comes, Vitarano, he'll make a strip through that land. Eliyahu Navi will already know where it's not Tomei. Because what's the Tumah? The Tumah is a doubt, maybe there are cemeteries there. Right? Or maybe not cemeteries, maybe there's dead bodies there. Eliyahu Navi will come and he'll figure out a way of getting a path through that land to Yerushalayim. So he said, all is not a problem. They're preparing stuff for the Beis HaMikdash. No problem. Eliyahu Navi will come and he'll get it there.
But practically, if they wanted to clear out the path at that time, why couldn't they do it?
How are they going to know?
Well, they choose a tract of land and they clear it. You mentioned before that there are ways of clearing the bones, fragment of bones.
Not if it's buried 6 feet down.
Not if it's buried, buried. In fact, there's a story in the Gemara Shabbos. Famous story in the Gemara that when Rabbi Shimon Mechoi came out of the cave after hiding for 13 years. So Rabbi Shimon Mechoi came out of the cave and he said, he learned from Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu came to Shechem, he minted a coin or he bought land, he did something beneficial for the community. So Rabbi Shimon Mechoi said, God was very kind to me. He saved me from the Roman that wanted to kill him. He saved him from being 13 years in the cave. He said, you know what? Let me do the world a favor. So he came to a city and he said, is there anything that you need a favor from me? So they told him, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, there's a field in this place, and there's some dead bodies somewhere in the field and we don't know where. And the Kayanim, instead of cutting through the field, have to go all the way around. So he said to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, maybe you could do something about it. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai gathered old people and he said, does anybody remember where they separated, where they did Truma on this land? You know, in other words, Rabbi Shimon Yochai wanted to find out, is there any path anywhere in the field that people know for sure was not Tomei? So there was an old guy, the Gemara says, that said, yes, I remember that in this area people used to separate Truma. So Shem Yechoy understood that then it wasn't Tamei. So he marked off the field, okay, and he said this field is not Tamei. The Kohenim could walk through it. So the Gemara said, that old guy said, he laughed, he said, hey, look at Shem Yechoy, he purifies cemeteries. He was like laughing at him, but what, how, you know, you have a chutzpah, you have no right to do that. So Shimon Yochai said like this: if you didn't see what I did and you said what you said, I can understand, but you saw how I did it and you saw what I did, you have the chutzpah to come out against me. The guy dropped dead on the spot. He became, the Gemara says, gal shel atzamos, he became a heap of bones. So you have cases, but over there was a different story. Because over there, Reb Shimon Yochai was able to find out from reliable people that you're allowed to trust that there were certain areas where there was no tumah. In these countries, like Kusimville, whatever, in that strip of land, there were bones all over the place. Not only that, the Gemara says, like we said before, the biggest problem was nafels, miscarriages. People, you know, women had, in those days, they didn't have doctors care like we have today, right? So there were tons of miscarriages, right, or whatever. So people would just bury the fetuses all over the place. So it was, there was no way of knowing in with certainty that there was no tomb in a particular place. So you could, the Chacham couldn't do it. Eliyahu HaNavi, the Gemara says, Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll figure out what to do. You already know how to do it. And then they'll be able to bring stuff to the Beis Hamikdash. But the Gemara's conclusion is, from Galil until then, you can't. So therefore, when the Mishnah said again that an Amoraim is believed in Yehuda about Hegdish, the Gemara says that's only in Yehuda. But in Galil, he's not believed because just by transporting it, you can never bring make it that it's not Tamei. Okay, then the Mishnah continued. Huh? What? I didn't hear what you said.
Shinshin starting trouble?
What?
In the story of Hanukkah, there was no oil, and then we discovered oil, and it was 7 days.
8 days.
Huh? 8 days, they went to press the oil, and they brought oil from different areas. Maybe from the Galil?
No, because then you have the same problem.
No,
it wasn't from Galil.
Some I thought they brought it from the north. The north and Galil is the same thing.
From the part of Asher, but it was Lav Dafka from the Galil. And don't forget, this is only according to the opinion that an oil which is movable is not an oil. That's only Rabbi's opinion. Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda hold it is.
And that oil is Hegdish oil, really? Then the Hanukkah, then for the menorah?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's used pure oil.
That's Hegdish.
The Hegdish, sure. The oil for the menorah had to be in Mukdish. In Hegdish itself, there's Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damim. When somebody makes something Hegdish, for instance, there is a Kedusha of the... There's two levels of Hegdish. There's Hegdish of the, what's called Kedusha Saguf, that the body itself of the object, the thing itself becomes Hegdish. And there's a lesser level of Hegdish that's called Kedusha's Damim. Kedusha's Damim means the value. For instance, if somebody said on a kosher bird or a kosher animal that had no blemishes, okay, he says, Areza Hegdish. You couldn't sell it. Hegdish couldn't sell it. It had to be brought as a carbon. Because the object's body became Hegdish. Not its value. The body became Hegdish. So you have to bring it as a carbon. What happens though, if a guy had a very nice table, and he wanted to donate it to the Beis HaMikdash?
Or a house.
Yeah. So he says, "Areza a Hegdish." He says, the table is Hegdish. Now, obviously it's not a carbon. Right? They can't... What's Hegdish going to do with a table? So what did Hegdish do? They sold the table and the money went for the Hegdish needs. Now, the table it's only the value of the table became Hegdish. Because when Beis Din sold the table, I mean, that when Hegdish sold the table to you, the table wasn't holy anymore. You know, when you paid $100 for the table, so the $100 became Hegdish money, but the table is not Hegdish anymore. Because what did the guy sanctify? The value of the table. The value is just the $100 that now became Hegdish. But if a guy sanctified a behemoth, that's a kosher carbon, then Hegdish can't sell it. So I'm saying, oil for the Beis HaMikdash was Hegdish. It had to be kosher lamoy, I mean, it had to be, you know, bought with Hegdish money, and it was Hegdish. The only question by Chanukah is, because it's this, if everybody's tummy, the laws of Tumah don't apply. So they asked why I couldn't, you know, but that's a separate issue. Okay, now the Gemara continues. And the Mishnah says...
You're kidding. The Gemara continues?
Yeah.
You were in the same place for 50 minutes.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Well, Vashas Agites, at the time of the wine pressing season, or the olive pressing season, Nemanim Afala Truma. We said that Amaretz is believed even for Truma. Okay? That means Hegdish... And Amaretz is believed to say it's pure a whole year. For Truma, he's only believed during the time of the pressing. So the Gemara asks, but Amin, I'll ask you a question. I'll show you that even then they're not believed. Why? Because it says, Agayim is Seisav. And Amaretz is completing his olives, Yiyashe Kupa Achas. Should set aside one box of olives for Truma, V'yitnena La'ani Kayin. And he should give it to an ani who is a kayin. Now, why? It says the din is as follows. When do things become susceptible to tuma, until the whole gathering of the olives is completed? We learned already in the past that in order for something to become tamei, fruit, to become tamei, it had to at one time, it has to be what's called mukhshir al-kabal tuma. It has to be susceptible to become tamei. How? By getting wet. What? No. Only if it's off, yeah, if it's off the ground, if it's cut. Yeah. The morning, if you leave it on the ground, and the morning dew is one of the seven liquids. The seven halachic liquids. So dew is a liquid. If the fruit gets wet with dew, it doesn't become tamei. It becomes susceptible that if something, any time later, even when it's dry, will touch it, it becomes tamei. Fruits that never get wet are not susceptible to tumah. Even when they get wet, it's only susceptible to become tamei if the guy was happy that it got wet. The owner. If the owner didn't want and was upset that the fruit got wet, then it's not susceptible to tumah. That's the halacha. They learn it up from a pasuk, ki yutan, ki yitain, it's written yitain, you read it yutan. Yutan means passive and yitain is active, it has to be passive like active, that if it got wet, but you had to want it to get wet. Now, in the times of the pressing, they didn't want the olives to get wet until they were all gathered. So therefore, the Gemara says like this, when an Amaretz is pressing, before he finishes the pressing, before all the olives are gathered, when olives pile on top of each other, they squeeze olive oil out of the olives and they get wet. But the guy doesn't want it to get wet until the gathering is done. So the Gemara says, what should an Amaretz do? Because he knows he's not believed on Truma, and he's going to make a Tamei. So what should he do? The Gemara says, before you finish gathering all the fruits, take a box of olives and put it away for Truma. They never became susceptible yet to Tuma. Because they never got wet yet. Even if they got a little bit of wet, the guy didn't want them to become wet yet. Okay? So the Gemara asks a very simple question. We learned in the Braisa that even in the olive pressing time, the Amaretz should take a box of olives and put it away out of the way for truma and give it to a poor kohen. A poor kohen. The one's going to say, why poor, not rich, but give it to a poor kohen. What do you see from there? That our ma'aretz is not believed to say it's tahor. Because we make him give it before it even could become tamei. Which means once it could become tamei, he's not believed anymore. So the Gemara asks, our Mishnah says you believe him at the time of the press, even at Truma. Here it says even the time of the press, you don't believe him. Because he has to put away a box before it could become tamei. So the Gemara answers, Amen of Nachman Lekashe. It's not a question between our Mishnah and the Braise. Ha b'charfe, our Mishnah that says he's believed is speaking the early crop of olives. Ha ba'afle, the late crop of olives. Meaning, once, he says, you know why the Braise says they're not believed? And they have to put away a box earlier. You're speaking about the later crop of olives. When the later crop of olives comes, the pressing season is over already. So he's not believed anymore. So therefore, the only way he can be believed is by separating it before it could become tamei. Because now he's not believed, it's after the pressing season. Our Mishnah that says he's believed in the pressing season is speaking the earlier olives. And over there, he's believed because it's during the pressing time. So Amalei Ravada Barava, so Ravada Barava asks Rav Nachman, Kugain Mai, what type of olives are called late crop? So he answered him, Rav Nachman said, Ka'etzen shall be sevich, like the ones in your father's house. In your father's house is the late crop, but the other house is the earlier crop. So this is what the Gemara answers. The contradiction between our Mishnah says and our Mishnah to believe during the pressing time. The Braise says during the pressing time he has to put away a box because he's not believed. So Gemara says over there is speaking the later crop, which is already after the pressing time, then he's not believed. But our Mishnah is speaking the earlier crop and he is believed. Rav Yosef, let's finish up this Gemara. Rav Yosef says, you know why the Braise says he's not believed? He's talking in Galil. In Galilee, he's not believed. Why? Because the land is tamei. Because of the gulen, that the strip of land. So, say Abaye asked him a question. It's not true, because Eva Yardin va Galil. It says clearly in Abaye, Eva Yardin, the other side of Jordan, and the Galil Harehen ki Yehuda. Says clearly in Abaye, Galil is like Yehuda. Nemanim alayayim b'shasayayin. They're trusted on the pressing time of wine, for pressing time of alashemin v'alashemin, right? But not loy alayayim b'shasayayin. They're not believed on wine during the olive pressing, and they're not believed on olives in the wine pressing time. But what do you see clearly in the Braisa? That it says clearly Galil is like Yehuda. So how could you answer me there's a difference between Yehuda and Galil when the Gemara says clearly Yehuda and Galil is the same thing? So Gemara answers, you're right. Rav Yosef's answer is wrong, and therefore the right answer is Rav Nachman's answer. There's a difference between the earlier crop and the later crop. One is during the press they're believed, after the press they're not believed. So this is the Gemara's conclusion with this. Okay.
Oh, yeah.